but I'm gonna, I ain't gonna probably be able to wait 10 minutes probably. But then we're gonna all come to the front and we're gonna all just pray. We're gonna pray for the upcoming Jubilee. We're gonna pray for revival in each one of our hearts, and we're gonna pray for the people that we've been praying for. And we just need to name the people out by name. We don't need to just go around anymore and just say, Lord, you know who they are. Yeah, he knows exactly who they are. But he wants to know, do we know who they are? And we need to, I believe that we need to do that. But I just want to, it's a few things I want to bring out here. In the book of Joshua, and over there in verse 14, and it's speaking of, this right here is speaking about Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb right here is the main theme of this. And we see where that Caleb, him and some of the others had went out earlier and spied out and went out to check on the people and check the cities that was around and everything, and to see what was going on. Well, as they did, the other individuals, they come back and they give their report unto Joshua. And as they give their report back unto Joshua, they was criticizing the people. We don't need to criticize anyone, because criticism will not allow us to be able to convince the people or sway the people to even come and join us. We need to be a people of humility. We need to be a people of love. And not only, and then Caleb, when Caleb come back and with the others and spying out the land there, he come back, and the reason he stayed, I believe, the reason he stayed and he didn't come back when the others come back was because Joshua wanted to get to know some of the people. And we got to get to know the people. We got to get to know how they act and the reason that they're acting. And we don't have to ask them, because it can show. But we need to just remember that we was in the same shoes one day. And while Caleb was coming back to Joshua and giving his report back to Joshua and what had happened there in the land, who do you think Joshua's really took their dealings with? Who do you think that he did he go did he side with the other individuals that went with Caleb, or did he side with Caleb? I believe we can understand, we can see why, and it may not say it right here, but we can say that Joshua, he went to Caleb and said, Caleb, now I want you to give me your true opinion and what you thought. And it says right over here in verse 3 in chapter 14. In verse 1 it says, let's start with verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Elijah the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the head of the fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel disputed for inheritance to them by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. For the 9 tribes and for the half tribes. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave inheritance among them. For the children of Joshua were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities and dwell in with their substance, for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did as they divided the land. The Lord God Almighty had spoken to Moses and give Moses the authority to be able to divide up the land among the people. And Caleb, he was also in the mix. He was also there. He was Moses was using Caleb to give out the land. In other words, Moses would be in the superintendent, one would say, and then Caleb was the supervisor. He was supervising over the people and the people that what land that they got. Because the children of Israel in that day, they had land on every side. They had all the land that they needed. But yet they didn't want none of it. They didn't want none of the land. They didn't want nothing that God had for them. That's the reason when they was traveling in the wilderness, how long did they stay there? Did they stay there 2 days? 2 years? 3 years? No. They stayed there for 40 years traveling in the wilderness with nothing else but and behind them and nothing else in front of them and nothing else beside of them going that way. Now, if the children of Israel, if we was like the children of Israel and we know that we had to go out and we was going to have to start a journey, and if we was just going to be on that journey for a month or 6 months or whatever, we would make sure that while we was walking, that we would have plenty of flip-flops or plenty of shoes to where we could put on our feet. And we'd have plenty of garments to where we could have them, because we know the garments is going to wear out. But see, the children of Israel, they knew God, but they went back on Him. They turned their back on Him. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. But even that, all of that, God still took care of them. While they was on that journey, God supplied the extra sandals that they had. God supplied the extra garments that they had that they had wore out. So I believe that God provided all of this when they overnight and when they rested. When they laid down and they rested their eyes and they rested their bodies. They done that because they knew that they was going to be on a journey tomorrow. And they did not know how far this journey was going to lead them. They didn't have no idea. And I believe the next morning, I'm just as foolish enough to believe this, that the next morning when they got up, out from under their other clothes, the coats and everything, where they was covered up during the night, and when they got up from that, they turned to the side and something caught their eye. And they said, what's that?
What's that? It don't say it. I'm just putting what I think may have happened. And nobody can't say it didn't happen. I mean, and I can't say it didn't happen. I can't say it did happen. I don't know. But I'm just foolish enough to believe it. That God supplied them with extra sandals and extra garments every morning. Because they'd walked miles and miles. And naturally, you go out here, and if you just walk, and where they said they walked at, they walked in the desert and the sand and everything. I know that. But you can go to the beach and where all nothing but sand there. And you can get on that sand and you can walk on the sand with your shoes and everything, with the sandals, and you can have some comfortable tennis shoes on or whatever. You can walk on that sand. But if you walk on that sand, and if you walk on in the yard all day, by nightfall, your feet is going to be so sore. You're not going to be able to stand it. That's the reason God provided. I believe God provided them extra shoes in the morning. Because anytime that you put on a new pair of shoes, don't they feel better than the one that you just slipped off of your feet? And you slipped your feet in a new pair? Don't they feel comfortable? And then the garment. God supplied the extra garments for them to wear. They didn't need the old rags. Because God was going to provide them with new rags. If you want to look at the rags. Just like me. God says, I'm nothing. God says, I'm nothing. I'm nothing but a 50 rags. Yes, I can take and send this suit off. I can send this shirt off. I can send the towel off. I can send my socks off. I can send my undergarment to have them cleaned. And I can have them done at the local laundromat or whatever. My wife can clean them. But then I have to take my suit somewhere else and have them have my suits pressed and cleaned. But even though having the suits pressed and cleaned, they still don't wear, and they still don't feel as good as if I'd have just went out there and bought me some new ones. Because the new ones would have felt better. Well, why would they feel any better? They just do. I don't know. But they do. They feel softer. They say, well, yeah, you can go out and you can get some stuff that you can put in your water when you in your laundry where to make your clothes a little softer. Yeah, you sure can. And like our washing machine, my wife's trying it. She don't do it no more. But the machine right there will not take all this softener and all the liquid stuff that she puts in to try to make the clothes, try to make the blankets and all of them a little softer. She don't use them. You know why? Because it ends up leaving spots. And as it leaves spots, you don't want to wear something that come out and it's got spots all over it. You want something, if it's been washed, you want to look at it to where it's been washed. And not just like a hand-me-down. And which, don't get me wrong, hand-me-downs are good.
fine. I've seen some hand-me-downs. And I've had some hand-me-downs. I've been at a time in my life that, yes,
it would be five. It'd be my other three brothers and one more stepbrother. We would go to town and we'd get one pair. Or if we was lucky sometimes, we'd get two pair of shoes. Not each one of us, but them pair of shoes that we got, we would all wear. If they was too big for you, you just took and bought some kind of paper up and you put it in your toes to where it wouldn't feel. And it wouldn't flop on your heel like it's going to come off. Back then, I was tickled to death to have rags. I was tickled to death to have a pair of jeans. To where we'd be outside and we'd be rolling around in the grass and we'd be playing football. We'd be playing this and that. And we'd come home and then the next thing you know, Mama would come in and says, "Son, why in the world did you do what you done to get them britches tore? Did you get the knees tore out of them?" Well, praise God, if you want a pair of jeans today, if you want a pair of jeans today that got holes all in them, not just in the knees, but I'm talking about back heel, I'm talking about the knees, the legs, everywhere. You have got to go to the store and give them $45, $55, or $65 for them. I'm not going to go and spend no $45 or $55. I'm not going to spend $10 for something that's already wore out. I look at. I mean, really. But that's what people do. See, the fad has come in. The fad has come in. People just don't want to look at it that way no more. But Caleb, I believe in Caleb. Caleb had the right character. And he had the right relationship with his Lord and Savior. He knew who God was, just like Moses knew who God was. Just like Joshua knew who God was. They introduced Caleb to God. And when they introduced him to God, he just went on and dived right over in the middle of it. And said, "Lord, I'm going by what these men have told me. And I'm going to just get in the middle of it. And I'm going to just drown with it." And he did. He just got in the middle of it. God got the blessing him. And when he went out to inspire the land with the others, hey, the others wanted to go back home. They didn't want to go. But what Caleb was waiting for when he stayed there, Caleb was waiting for another order to come through. He was waiting for Joshua to send somebody to him to tell him, said, "Now you're going to a little further than where you're at now. And you do what you're doing there." We need to do what God's asked us to do. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight that you would just help us to be faithful to thee. And Father, we pray, Lord, each and every time that we go about doing something,
whatever it may be. Lord, that Scripture would come up to us and overshadow our thoughts and overshadow our mind. It would drown us out with your love. And Father, and let us know that what we are doing is wrong. And Lord Jesus, that you can help us to do right. You can help us to be able to be a part of the fellowship, the part of your fellowship here at Faith Baptist Church. And we can be here when you start opening doors here. And I believe that you're going to open these doors. I do not know when, but I'm waiting on you, Lord, to open these doors. I'm open, waiting, God, for you to open the floodgates of heaven upon the people and burden them down that they need to get in the house of the Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, as we end the preaching service with this prayer, Father, we ask, Lord, the ones who want to come up front that has a need, or they may know somebody within their own community, within the people that they know that's at work, and family members, the people that they know that is in need of prayer. And Father, help us, Lord, not just to pray a sincere prayer, but Father, that we would come earnestly and pray for the situation. Father, we will name the name of the people. And Father, not only that, that Father, that we can name some of the things that they're doing. They know what they're doing is wrong. But Father, the only way that we can ever see where that they may have an opportunity to be in thy house, to hear thy precious word, where the Holy Spirit can draw them to Jesus and to be saved. We know, Lord, that they have to come. And they have to come and they have to hear some preacher preaching the Word of God. So, Father, we want to thank you once again that we could come this way tonight. And, Father, we go to our respective homes as we leave here the church. That, Father, that we will leave with more love than the love that we had coming in. And, Father, as we leave the individual, or we separated from each one of the individuals, Father, with the presence that is around us, Father, with our love and with our love and your love also. Father, that we know, Father, we may not be in the presence of them after we leave this precious sanctuary here tonight. But, Father, we know that you're right there with us. And we need to love you 24 hours a day, 366 days a year. We don't need to even take no time off of anything. Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you will touch the people tonight. You know who they are. You know exactly who they are. You know Brother Bill, Father, needs a touch from you. Oh, Father God, that you may touch the problem that's causing his pain. And Father, we know that he's just started on another position at his job. But Father, his back has started bothering him. The doctors really hasn't figured out exactly what the problem is. But Lord, we just pray, Father, that you can touch him each and every day. And Father, that he can feel a little better each morning that he gets up. And Father, that as he gets about and starts moving around in the house, that everything will kind of lumber up and the pain would leave. Father, I know with no shadow of doubt that you can yourself do it. You can do it with no medication. You can do it with no therapy. All you have to do is just speak it. And you can say to yourself, Brother Bill, my child, I'm going to touch you tonight. We need to believe that. Father, he can do it. Not only that he can do it to Bill, he can do it to others also. Father, the people that's here tonight, Lord Jesus. My heart is broken tonight, Father, for these people. And they have sacrificed so much. I have no idea what they have sacrificed in keeping the doors open here. And Father, they know what this church was founded on. And they believed in supporting the missionaries that you have out in the fields, Father. It may not be that much considering, but Father, we do support them. And we pray for them every day. And oh, Father God, we ask now that you would do something miraculous this week for the individuals that's here. Father, just take me out of the equation. Father, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that not only will you come down with your finger of love and touch Brother Bill's back. Father, you don't even have to reach out your arm. All you have to do is speak it. You don't even have to speak it. You can thank it. And Father, as you do that, Lord, I pray, Father, that you may touch Sister Donna, Lord. Father, the need that's in her life. And Father, help her, Lord, that she can be the Christian that she knows that she wants to be. And Father, I pray, Lord, for Sister Betty. Oh, God, that you will just touch her body. Father, Lord, we know that you can do these things. And we're asking, that's the reason I'm coming and asking. If I did not think you could do it, Lord, I wouldn't even waste my breath in coming and asking. But I know you can do it. You can do it without any doctors available, without any therapy, without any surgeon. You can do it. I know you can, Lord. Because I've seen in your word where you've healed people and you've touched them. I've seen it physically myself in people's lives where you've touched. And Lord, these people right here had been faithful to you, had been faithful to the house of God. These are not just people that says that they know that they're saved. And they're not just people that says that they love you. There are also people that obeys what's in your word. They want every prayer answered. And they want to do it because of what Jesus Christ had done.
for each one of them. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Sister Irma tonight. Oh God, that you may touch her body. Father, that you may strengthen it, Lord. And Father, we pray, God and Father, that maybe someone that she knows that may not know the Lord Jesus, that Father, that you can be able to just speak to her about it. And Lord, as you speak to her, and Father, and not just her, but Sister Betty and Sister Don and Brother Bill and Sister Huff also, and my wife, and even me, Lord, as you speak to us, as you touch our bodies, Father, the Lord, you'll allow us to go out in the midst of the sinner, of the midst of this world, and proclaim your precious name. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that we'll do what you asked us to do. When we get to the individual, we don't have to worry about nothing else, because you've already spoke to the individual. The individual is going to ask you. Say, Lord, God, I know you've been speaking to me. I know that I don't know you in a personal way. Oh God, but I sure would love to know you in a personal way. And we would not go to the individuals. If they said that they've been in church and they said that they've been saved, they can say they've been saved 3 or 4 times. We will not embarrass them. We will love them just like we love each other here. And Sister Huff, oh Father God, we pray, Lord Father, for her. We pray for, Lord, for her legs. We pray for the pain that she goes through each and every day. And Father, we pray, Lord, for the her strength and her well-doing, Lord, that as she takes care of her son that's at home. And Father, you know Brother Jimmy. You know his heart. You know what he says and how he says it. Lord, we pray, God, that you'll just humble his heart, that he can speak to his mother in a small, sweet voice. And maybe that his mother can come home tonight. And Brother Jimmy can say to his mother tonight, forgive me, because I know that what I've done and the things that I've said, it's been out of the way. Lord, I know that you can put that on his heart right now. But I don't know if it's your will tonight. I don't even know your will this week to do what we've been praying for. But I do know this. There's never a prayer that you do not answer. And Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you may touch Faith Baptist Church. Touch this building. Father, that we can always be able to come in and we can be able to sense the power of God. And we can always be able to sense his presence. And Father, as we sense his power, and as we sense your presence, that we can go out here and say, Lord, help me to share this with somebody else. I can't just share, I just can't keep it, because my cup runneth over. My cup is running over. And I don't want to waste any of it. I want what I have. If it runs over, I want it run over to onto someone else. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask in the night, Father, for you to do something.
And Lord, you know that I'm not coming and I'm not asking anything.
And I haven't prayed for anything tonight
that is impossible with you.
I know that all things are possible for the ones that love Him, the ones that obey Him. So, Father, we do thank you. And we love you tonight. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.